Acts chapter 9, I draw your attention tonight to the verses 15 and 16. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. A chosen vessel. That's what the text says. He is a chosen vessel unto me. The Christian church at Damascus, which is significant in size, it has many disciples, but it is terrified. It is in great fear because Saul of Tarsus has arrived. And they know about Saul of Tarsus. They know the man. They know the misery that he has caused in the church at Jerusalem. And they know the mission that he has at Damascus. We know that because Ananias tells the Lord that in this vision. Verse 13, Lord, I've heard by many of this man. It's well known how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here in Damascus, he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. So understandably, Ananias is shocked when the Lord Jesus appears to him and gives him a special commission. And that commission is very definite. There's no uncertainty about it. Verse 10, Ananias, this disciple, he is told by the Lord, arise, go into the street which is called Straight. Go to the house of Judas and ask for Saul. Yes, Saul of Tarsus. Ask for him because he's praying, Ananias. And he's seen that you're coming and you're going to lay your hands on him. And whenever Ananias hears that, he doesn't like that. He seems to remonstrate with the Lord. He seems unwilling to do it. And he seems almost to think that the Lord must be mistaken. Surely not. This can't be. And so Ananias, he puts up quite an argument with the Lord. And he says, Lord, verse 13, I have heard by many of this man. It's not just rumor. It's fact. There are many witnesses. Many witnesses about this man. Many people, and they're able to testify to the great evil that he has done. He's done great evil to your saints at Jerusalem. And Lord, I know for a fact that he has authority to be here. He's got authority from the chief priests, and he's here in this city for the very purpose of binding everybody who's calling upon your name. And so Ananias thinks he's putting the Lord right. He's correcting the Lord Jesus. And he's telling him the way it is. And that's what Ananias is more or less saying. Lord, you must be mistaken. He's like a devil. And you want me to go to him and lay my hand on him? But the Lord is not mistaken. And he insists. And he says in our text, go thy way. Ananias, just get on the path. Just do what you're told. Get on the path of duty. You know, we can't argue with the Lord. His will must be done. If Ananias is told to go to the street straight and to knock at the door of Judas, he has to do it. You notice how he says, the Lord describes it, go thy way. You're a disciple, Ananias.
Go your way. You know the way of a disciple. What is the way of a disciple? The way of a disciple is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ obediently. To do what Jesus says, that's the way of a disciple. So go thy way. Tonight, child of God, if you're asking, what's my way? What's the way I should go? What's the way that I ought to own? The answer is very simple. It's the way of the Lord. It's the way that his word says and tells. That's the way you go. Your way should be Christ's way. And Christ's way should be your way. There should be one. And Ananias needs to learn resignation to Christ's will. And he needs to be able to say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Without any remonstrating or difficulties, he ought to obey. He's called a disciple after all. Verse 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus. And the disciple must follow the Lord's way. So this is the way now, Ananias. Go thy way. This is a voice behind you saying, this is a way. Walk ye in it. The Lord kind of gently rebukes him when he says, just go. Go thy way. Now, while the Lord expects his servant to do his duty, he doesn't just stop at that. He doesn't just say, now go thy way. A harsh master would do that. He would just say, do what you're told and go. Get on the road. But that's not the Lord Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus is so kind. And he's so patient. And he helps Ananias. He reassures his servant. And he does so by comforting him. And taking away his fears. Because he's afraid. He's obviously afraid to go to Saul. And the Lord knows that. And so, yes, the Lord says, go your way. But he assures him, it'll be all right. You see, the Lord knows our fears. And he knows that whenever we don't sometimes want to do his will, he knows that sometimes it is out of fear. And while he will rebuke us, he also cares for us and is kind. And he'll correct us. And he'll reassure us and he'll comfort us. Because that's just the way he is. He's a kind master. He's a loving heavenly shepherd. He's not a hard man. He's not cruel. He gently leads us in the paths of righteousness. And we don't always find it easy to walk in those paths. He knows that. And he knows Ananias is finding this difficult. So he reassures him. He reassures him by telling him how Saul is a new man. That he has a new mission. And that man is now working for a new master. He's changed. His life has been changed, Ananias. And thankfully, Ananias submits and obeys. And verse 17, it says, Ananias went his way. And entered into the house. And that's why he's written in the book, isn't it? Because even though he initially remonstrated with the Lord, later on he did go. He obeyed. And he's written in the book. And is here for us. And the Lord has honored him. In fact, he's the only named disciple in the whole city of Damascus that we know about. He's recorded because he resigned to Christ's will, and he did the difficult mission, and he got on the path and obeyed the Lord. And you know, we as Christians will gain nothing by disobeying Christ. We'll be losers if we don't do the way of the Lord. But if we do the way of the Lord, we'll be gainers, and we'll be honored, and we'll be rewarded, and it'll be recorded in the book. So this man's mission is recorded because he was obedient. The words by which our Lord Jesus Christ assured Ananias form our text tonight. Ananias, get on the path, go thy way, go to Saul, for I'm not mistaken. He is no longer the man you think he is. He's not that man anymore, Ananias. This is what he is.
He's a chosen vessel unto me. That's what he is now. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I'm going to show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So he's changed, Ananias. And those are the words that we want to think about tonight. He's a chosen vessel unto me. So Ananias has told Saul's a vessel. A vessel. Let's think about that. Everybody's a vessel. Every one of us are a vessel. You're a vessel. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought of your life, your humanity, in terms of being a vessel? Well, that's how the Bible depicts us. Every one of us are vessels. I don't think Ananias has a problem with the idea of Saul being a vessel. That's not strange to him because everybody's a vessel. We're all vessels of clay. The Bible says we're earthen vessels. The poet put it, this frail vessel. And males and females are vessels as well, if we think in terms of gender. But woman, of course, is called the weaker vessel. Yes, men are vessels and women are weaker vessels, but we're all vessels. Whether we're saved or unsaved, whether we're born again or unregenerate, every man's a vessel. So Ananias hasn't a problem with Saul being a vessel. But there are two questions that you have to ask about any vessel. The first question that you have to ask is, what kind of vessel is he? What kind of vessel are you? That's the first question. And then the second question you have to ask is, whose vessel are you? Whose vessel are you? Who's bearing you? Who's carrying you? So those are two very important questions. And Ananias, he no doubt viewed Saul as a vessel, but he was thinking in terms of other things, that Saul is a vessel full of hatred. How does the chapter open up? He's breathing out. Here's this vessel, and he's breathing out terror and slaughter. Why is he breathing out terror and slaughter? Why is he breathing out this mischief and this fighting and this destruction? Why is he breathing that out? Because he's full of hatred. He's a vessel bearing hatred. And that's what Ananias looks upon him. Yes, he's a vessel, I can see that, but he's bearing hatred, Lord. He's a vessel full of bitterness. And the ungodly are vessels, but they're filled with sin. And their hearts are filled with iniquity. Ananias thinks Saul is that kind of vessel. He's filled with malice. He's filled with hatred for the Lord Jesus. He's filled with hatred for the saints and for the people of God. And the unregenerate is a vessel of sin. Well, we mentioned Paul, how he gives so many descriptions of the unconverted man and woman, especially in Romans chapter 1. And one of the terms that he uses in regards to describe them is the verb filled. They're being filled. The ungodly are vessels that are filled. They're filled with all unrighteousness. They're filled with fornication and wickedness and covetousness. They're full of envy, he says. This is Paul's description. This is the Holy Spirit of the unregenerate vessel, full of envy, bearing malice, bearing hatred, filled with unrighteousness. And Ananias clearly thinks Saul's still that vessel, filled with all these things. Do you remember how James described the tongue? The utensil of one of these vessels, the tongue, a very important part of our vessel. And James describes the tongue as full of deadly poison. It's filled with venom. This is the tongue of the unregenerate.
Do you remember Elymas the sorcerer? How did Paul describe him? Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. He was filled with subtlety and mischievousness and that kind of wicked behavior and wicked attitude that he carried on to oppose the gospel. And the unregenerate are vessels, but they're filled with these things. And Ananias clearly thinks that Saul is such a vessel. But Saul's not that vessel anymore. He's not that man anymore. He's not filled with pride anymore. He's not filled with that same self-righteousness anymore. The Lord has already told Ananias, behold, he prayeth. Because he's been 3 days already before the Lord appeared to Ananias. And he hasn't eaten. He's fasting. He's praying. He's seeking the Lord. He's seeking the Lord's will for his life. He's seeking the Lord to lift this blindness and to infill him with the Holy Spirit. He's waiting before the Savior, the Lord that he met on the Damascus Road, and he's praying. He's changed. He's praying. You see, he was a Pharisee. He said prayers, but he never prayed. There's prayer and there's prayer, isn't there? And the Pharisee said his prayers, but he never prayed. Because he was that kind of vessel, filled with pride. And a vessel filled with pride can't pray. You remember the Pharisee? The Lord Jesus told us about the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee, the Lord Jesus said he prayed with himself. He prayed with himself. Just full of his pride, full of his arrogance, despising others, despising the publican, filled with self-righteousness, no sense of need, no humility, no self-smiting like the publican. He just prayed with himself. He didn't pray with God, he didn't pray to God, and God didn't hear him. And that's the way Saul used to be. But now Jesus saying he's different. Behold, he prayeth now. He really prayeth. He truly prayeth. He's praying in my name. He's praying to that name that you're talking about, Ananias. He's come to bind all that call upon my name. But here he is. He's now praying to my name.
So Ananias viewed Saul as a vessel of hatred. He also viewed Saul as a vessel of Satan, as under the authority and domain of Satan, a vessel under the power of darkness, a vessel doing the devil's work, a vessel binding saints, and therefore a vessel being used by the devil, being born by the devil, being brought by the devil to Damascus. Lord, he's authority from the chief priests. You know what the chief priests done to you, Lord? You remember how they received Judas Iscariot? You remember how they covenanted 30 pieces of silver to him? And all they were interested in was your death, Lord. That's the chief priests under the power of darkness, under the power of Satan, the prince of this world who came that night, who entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot, who entered into the Sanhedrin and energized these priests. Lord, he's come from them. He's a vessel under their authority. He's a vessel in their hands. He's doing the mission of the devil. This is how Ananias is thinking. A vessel filled with hatred and a vessel being used by Satan. What kind of vessel are you tonight? Who is your master? Who uses you? Who controls you? Whose vessel are you? And what is your heart filled with? The Lord then corrects Ananias. He's a chosen vessel unto me. That's the way it is now, Ananias. He's not the same. He's a vessel now in whom the Lord has pleasure. He's a vessel now in whom the Lord delights in. You remember in the book of Jeremiah, King Kenaniah is called a vessel wherein is no pleasure. God doesn't delight in him. God has no pleasure in him. And God called Israel the same. They're a vessel in whom he has no pleasure, no delight. And he sent them away. He cast them into the dunghill. He threw them out into Babylon. They were a vessel he had no delight in anymore. Just like a vessel you don't have any delight in, you throw it in the bin. You throw it in the rubbish heap. King Kenaniah and Israel and its apostasy was like that. But that's not Saul. He's my vessel. He's a vessel I delight in. He gives me pleasure now, Ananias. He's a new man. And I want you to delight in him as well, Ananias. And I want you to discover the new vessel that he is. And I'm telling you about the new vessel that he is. So Ananias, he would have thrown Saul into the dunghill. He would have cast him out into the rubbish tip. He would conclude, Lord, he's no use to you. You know, we should never give up on any man. Even the worst of sinners are vessels. And what the Lord could do with any of them, if he worked in them. You know, there are some wicked, ungodly people who have great abilities and great gifts and talents that have been given to them in common grace. What a wonderful thing if the Lord should save them and make them his vessel and fill them with new life and put them under his own new authority. How they could be used. We shouldn't give up on any man. We should recognize the gifts and the worst of men, and we should pray, Lord, save that man for you. He'd be a wonderful vessel for you, Lord. I think that's what the Christian church was doing. They knew Saul was coming. They were terrified. And they were praying, Lord Jesus, work in that man. That's why he was converted, you know. The Damascus church was praying for him. And Jesus, outside the city, met him. But that's another story. We should never give up on any man. We shouldn't be quick to write off any sinner. The Lord's mighty. And we should desire good for sinners and their salvation and not desire their destruction, but their regeneration and their cleansing, and that they might become the vessels of the Lord. You know, we read of many vessels in the Bible. We particularly read of the vessels that were in God's worship, in the tabernacle and in the temple. There were many vessels in God's house. Two things were required of them. They had to be clean, they had to be washed, and they had to be anointed. They had to receive the purifying blood and the water, and they had to receive the anointing oil to be the Lord's vessels and to be his utensils in his service. And whenever the Babylonians invaded Jerusalem, you remember one of the things that they did was they ransacked the temple. And all of those vessels, they took them. They took all those vessels away, just like they took the people of Israel away. So they took all the vessels out of God's house. They took them all away. And they put them into storage. But sometimes those vessels were taken out. They were taken out of storage. And very often they were used. And they were used in the idolatrous feasts. And they feasted out of them. And they had parties and all kinds of immoral feasts were taking place, and the vessels of the Lord were being used. And those vessels became unclean. Some of them were unclean for years and years. Up in 70 years, those vessels remained unclean. But God brought them out again. He brought them all out again. And they were cleansed. And they were anointed. And they were used once more in God's service.
How many years have you been an unclean vessel?
70 years? It's a long time. Up in 70 years. Have you been an unregenerate sinner for years and years? Unclean still. It's not too late. The Lord can still take you. The Lord can still make you His vessel. The Lord can still cleanse you and wash you and anoint you and use you in His service and fill you with His Holy Spirit as Saul was filled with the Holy Ghost.
And Saul later said, that's why God saved him, to make him a vessel of mercy, to show the greatness of God's mercy, to show what God can do. And you can be a clean vessel. Even 70 years in sin, you can still be a clean vessel. It's not too late. If the Lord can do this to Saul of Tarsus, He can meet you, and He can do the same to you. That's one of the lessons tonight. And so, yes, Saul was a vessel. Ananias wouldn't deny that. He had abilities and learning and gifts, but all he thought was for the devil's use. But now the Lord Jesus is telling him, he's cleansed, the blood has been applied to him, he's going to get the Spirit in filling him now, and he's going to be my man. And so the Ananias is informed by the Lord the kind of vessel he is and will be. He's a chosen vessel. For the Lord chose him. He's among the elect, Ananias. He stands on the same foundation as you, Ananias. You haven't chosen me. I've chosen you. And Saul didn't choose me. I chose him. That's the foundation, Ananias. The Lord knoweth them that are His. God's people are a holy people, chosen. He's chosen them to be a peculiar people. That's why they are a peculiar people, because the election of grace, chosen before the foundation of the world, have chosen him. No matter about the uncleanness that had been in his life for years, no matter about being a slave of the devil, I've chosen him. I've chosen him. Before I formed thee in the belly, the Lord said to Jeremiah, and he could say the same to Saul of Tarsus, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the Gentiles. And Paul could later write, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles. I've been chosen to it. I've been elected. Chosen to salvation. But that's not the whole story. It's not salvation that is preeminent in this idea of a vessel. It's service. A vessel is used in service. And that's the full story of the chosen ones. That's the full story of the people of God. Yes, they've been saved, chosen to salvation, but the Lord has chosen them to salvation in order to service. He hasn't chosen to sit them on the mantle in glory, but He's chosen them to serve Him on earth while they have breath, and to serve Him in heaven throughout all eternity. Vessels of service. A vessel is useful. A vessel carries things and bears things. And if you're a Christian tonight, you should be serving God. He's chosen you to serve Him. He's gifted you. He's given you talents and abilities, and He expects you to use them in His service. He expects you to bear something for Him in the work. He expects you to carry some of the load. Bringing something, carrying something to sinners, to boys and girls, to the unconverted. You're in God's house to be doing. Now, a vessel has to be carried, that's true. It doesn't have legs of its own. And the Lord carries his vessels and he puts them in places and he puts them in the work and he calls them to this. He places them, he sets them, and they're very willing to be set. They don't resist the Lord. What did Paul say? Lord, what would you have me to do? I'm a new vessel, Lord. I'm under new authority now. I belong to thee. Where would you put me? What would you have me to do? Where would you set me? Have you ever asked that? Lord, what would you have me to do? Where would you put me? Where is there a niche for me to be placed? I've chosen you. I put you here to feed you, the Lord says. I put you here also to serve me and to be a witness for me and to further the kingdom here in this corner of the vineyard where you have been placed. And so Ananias has to know you can't lock Saul out of the church. You can't lock this man out of discipleship and Christian service, Ananias. You can't lock him out. He's a chosen vessel to me. To me. I want you to think about those words. To me. He's for me. Mine. A chosen vessel. Mine. My chosen vessel. He was under the high priest. He was under the authority of the Sanhedrin. But not anymore. He's my man now. I'm his master and Lord. Whenever Saul met him, he said, Lord, you're my Lord now. What would you have me to do? And a vessel bears something, doesn't it? And Saul is to bear something. He's to bear my name, a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What's that treasure? Well, if you're saved, that treasure's Christ. You have Christ. No greater treasure than the Savior. You have him. You're just a vessel. You're just a vessel of clay. But you have him. And you bear him. And you carry him. And so he's filled with something new, Ananias. He's filled with me. He's no longer filled with hatred. He's no longer filled with envy. He's no longer filled with malice. He's no longer energized by Satan. He's filled with me. He's bearing me. Does Christ fill your life? Christ swell your heart. Christ in you. The hope of glory. He's a Christ-centered man now, Ananias. And he's going to be more and more. And I'm going to fill his life. And he's going to carry that name. He's going to bear me to multitudes. He carries a name that's above all names. He loves my name. He adores my name. He's going to talk about my name before the Gentiles and before kings and before the children of Israel. This is what he's going to do, Ananias. He names those three groups. He's going to spread it far and wide. That's the kind of vessel he is now. He's going to go to the heathen. He's going to go to the pagans. I'm going to bear him among the nations. And everywhere he goes, he's just going to carry my name. He's not going to carry philosophy. He's not going to carry hatred, bigotry. He's not going to carry pride and self-righteousness. No, he's going to humbly just carry me, carry Christ, carry the Savior. That's what he's going to do. He's changed. He's going to stand before great men. He's not even going to be ashamed before kings. He's going to appear before Festus. He's going to appear before Caesar. He's going to appear before Agrippa. And he's even going to go back to his own people, to the Jews. I'm going to lead him. I'm going to send him. He's going to go on great missionary journeys. And Paul talked about all these things. He says, I'm a minister of the Gentiles. He says, I'm ordained a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth.
And he did stand before Caesar, one of the most terrifying Caesars of all, Nero himself. And so terrifying was Nero that whenever Paul had to come in and appear before him, he says, "Everybody went. They all forsook me. I was on my own because I stood before the lion. I was before the mouth of the lion and I was there on my own. But I still bore testimony to his name. And the Lord stood with me before kings." Before kings. Oh, the Lord knows everything. The Lord knows the end from the beginning. And we could tell so many stories about Paul before the Gentiles, before kings, before the children of Israel. But Lord, he was a persecuting vessel. Ananias, he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I'm going to show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He's not going to be the persecutor anymore, Ananias. He's going to be the persecuted. He's going to be the one hated. He's going to be the one attacked now. He's going to be an attacked vessel, an assaulted vessel, an abused vessel by the ungodly and the world. He's going to be a vessel attacked by hell. He's going to suffer great things. That always happens, the vessel of the Lord. You know, you would think if you were bearing Jesus Christ, the treasure, that everybody would love you, that the people would embrace you, that life would be so blessed and so wonderful, and you'd be surrounded with all kinds of reception, and you would never face attack or envy or any kind of malice. But that's not the way it is. No. When you bear his name, you become an object of assault in one way or another. He's going to suffer. In carrying my name, he's going to suffer. Paul said that. He said to Timothy, "I suffer these things," he says. "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I suffer trouble," he says, "as an evildoer, even unto chains. But God's word is not bound." Persecutions, afflictions, he says, which came unto me, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, which persecutions I just endured. And one time he goes into great detail of his sufferings. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. One day I spent in the whole ocean. Pearls of water, pearls of robbers, pearls by my own countrymen, pearls by the Gentiles, the heathen, pearls in the city, pearls in the wilderness, in the country, in the sea, pearls among false brethren. Painfulness and weariness often, he says. Such as the vessel of the Lord, he must suffer many things. But today, he's in glory. And he's finished his course, and the work is ended for Paul. And he's a vessel glorified and in heaven with the Lord. And he's enjoying his reward, a chosen vessel. May it please the Lord to make us also his chosen vessel. And may we be given grace to unashamedly bear his name and serve him in every way that we can and be willing to be put in any place he puts us for him. And may he always rule our life. And may we never allow ourselves to be used by the devil.